Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Internet Marketing. Hello everybody and welcome to episode 84 of Internet Marketing, brought to you by Sites Visibility at sitevisibility.com. Andy White here, and in a short but nugget-packed show, Kelvin talks to Chris Treadway, one of the authors of the book Facebook, An Hour a Day. It's one of the most comprehensive guides written on promoting your business on Facebook. Enjoy.
In your time then in that kind of consultancy and kind of with your research for the book An Hour a Day, is there certain types of business that tend to take to Facebook marketing particularly well? And is there a particular reason for that?
Businesses that are in more of a B2B space are trying to figure out the equation of how to market to individuals that are employees from, you know, 8 to 5 or whatever, employees of a corporation, but outside of that, you know, or maybe in Facebook and having a personal life, obviously. And so it's been B2C so far, but it's interesting trying to watch, you know, companies that are more from a B2B perspective kind of get in. And I would also add, you know, that the bigger corporations are now obviously seeing Facebook as a huge marketing opportunity with 500 million people and more, you know, more every day. You know, you're starting to see the bigger corporations crowd into the space that was more sort of the kitschy local business space before. And so we're at a little interesting inflection point, I think.
And yeah, I mean, it's kind of quite interesting, isn't it? Because I think there's two different challenges, isn't there? Where when you've got a small business, they kind of maybe got the resource and the ability to do that, you know, to kind of interact on that social platform, but might not necessarily have the experience in a communicating or a strategy behind it. Whereas the bigger businesses maybe do have that strategy and that history, but kind of getting the inertia and the freedom for people to act individually is more the challenge. Is that kind of a fair assessment of the different spectrums of businesses?
I think so. I think, but it also flips the other way also in terms of sort of authentic personal, you know, interpersonal interaction, right? Because, you know, Joe's Pub down the street, you may know Joe, Joe's been a pillar of the community for a long time, right? But if someone is, you know, if so Joe might be on your newsfeed, but then Cadbury is on your newsfeed as well, or, you know, and so Cadbury is a big multinational international brand and corporation, right? And sort of faceless by comparison. But Cadbury wants the same, you know, sort of engagement with a consumer that Joe's Pub has. And so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out too, because there's something about corporations, and I don't dislike corporations or anything like that, but they're inherently built for scale, which is not sort of personal, right? Whereas Joe's Pub is more about, you know, filling the pub on a Thursday night.
Yeah, and do you think then in terms of, because, you know, we've talked there a bit about kind of some of the, you know, the people doing the marketing, but do you think the kind of the people being marketed to, are they getting more savvy about disclosing personal information and kind of, and what does that sort of mean for companies really? Because I know for me, a big change in the way that I felt that Facebook allow me to interact with businesses was the change where it took things I'd listed that I was interested in and turned them into liking of pages, which happened fairly recently, wasn't it? So I might have had a television program that I said I liked on my profile, but now, you know, because I, you know, there was a check-in process where you had to approve that, but now that television program can send a message to me via the system, really. Do you think that was a big change in how it goes, and do you think people are getting more savvy about the what they disclose on Facebook?
Well, certainly the rub in May with Facebook, with the privacy issues that they were having about, sharing personal information without users knowing it and so on, created a little sort of hiccup at the time. And I don't know about, it sounds like you may have made some changes mm-hmm. around that time. I certainly exposed less data about myself. I mean, but I didn't really panic, and I don't think really the market panicked so much about that in retrospect. Remember the quit Facebook day for May 31st was sort of an epic flop, mm-hmm. right? Was the case because I think sort of at the end of the day, consumers sort of have this expectation to some degree that living your life online means, that someone, your data is sort mm-hmm. of out there, right? But I think the big theme that I see interestingly, we're already talking about this as part of the potential second edition book that we're talking about now, is this notion that, what happens after everybody's on Facebook and all the companies are trying to fight for space on your newsfeed alongside your friends. But instead of having maybe 5 or 7 or 10 fans or page affiliations per person, I'm now affiliated with something like 100+, mm-hmm. and they're all trying to get on my newsfeed. So what's the implication of that for a marketer? Mm-hmm. And can it get too crowded? I mean, can this become so cluttered after a while that for a marketer, its utility gets lessens a little bit unless you're mm-hmm. really good at it, right? Those are sort of the trends that we're starting to see as we get out and talk with more people around when I do speaking engagements or consulting engagements or what have you around the country, that's certainly becoming a much more prevalent issue. It's sort of the post-social what's next kind of thing.
Yeah, no, it's interesting, isn't it? There is going to come that point when, such a significant proportion of the population and businesses are going to have a presence on there. That might very well change the dynamic of how businesses and, individuals interact on there. Yeah, it's an interesting one that I hadn't thought so much about there. I mean, one question I've got to come up that, for me, not being a, being a Facebook user, but not a frequent Facebook marketer. One thing that's kind of I've always found a bit confusing is the way that they kind of make those changes between groups, pages and various different options that you can have there in terms of which should you go for. And I suppose I was just interested to know, Chris, in terms of from your perspective, when you're a business creating a presence on Facebook, what's the best way you suggest going about doing that?
Well, it's funny because when we started writing the book about a year ago, a little more than a year ago, pages and groups were sort of neck and neck in the race. I mean, there were people, businesses using both, and now it's sort of swung wildly in favor of pages, which I think makes sense. I mean, Facebook certainly wanted businesses to do that, and they added more features to pages while sort of deprecating the group experience for a business owner. And for instance, with the metrics, I mean, the metrics are much more mm-hmm. rich with pages than they'll ever be with groups. And that's kind of a big deal, obviously, mm-hmm. for marketers today. Groups, there are a few benefits to groups that might make sense for certain business owners. For instance, you can really sort of aggressively who is a member of the group. So you might use a group for a premium service or something, some sort of like elite customer membership, and you might expose like discounts or coupons or certain types of content that's of interest to your consumers through that group that's sort of a members only mm-hmm. type thing, right? Whereas pages is kind of, anybody can sort of like something and there really aren't any restrictions on that. But I think for most folks, it's probably, pages today.
I think with groups, I think pages is definitely for 9 times out of 10 seems to be from my, my impression. And it's good to hear that, I'm on the right track there. It seems to be the best option. But I've seen some interesting ways where people have used groups where it's kind of almost a little bit more of a subtle way. So rather than kind of promoting the business, it's kind of promoting a cause or an issue that the business are associated right. and they kind of benefit by proxy. Is that kind of a good approach, do you think, in some cases?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And the groups thing also, I think, gives you a few more options in terms of emailing customers and people who are affiliated. And so, there are things like that. I mean, I mean, let's face it, right? Marketing is not just about beating somebody over the head with your brand, right? It is about subtlety. There's a subtlety to it, especially, I think, especially moving forward, right? You're talking about every, you know, company, every business is going to have a page. So you're sort of replicating the internet, more or less, on Facebook. And you know, people can't keep up with all the different updates and so on from everyone once that sort of blows up. So so the subtlety is a really, really interesting point, and it's one that I think makes a lot of sense, especially, you know, as you think about what's going to be the differentiator for a marketer down the road. Not today, but maybe, you know, in this post-social environment where everybody has a page and it's just loud.
No. I mean, I think that's, you're right. There's, you know, lots of, you know, more inventive ways of doing it rather than necessarily just the most basic way. And I mean, I suppose a question I've got for you, Chris, is if you were just starting out, you're a business, you've never had any presence on Facebook before, there's kind of two options as I saw it, really. There's the kind of the marketing approach. There's creating a page, creating a group and kind of interacting with your community. But there's also the kind of PPC style adverts there. Which do you think is probably the best place for people to start as a gentle introduction to Facebook?
Yeah, it's funny because we talked about this a little in the book and we've actually talked.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
About this in subsequent webcasts a lot more, which is the concept of how does Facebook fit into a business's overarching internet marketing approach, right? You have a website, you're going to have an email customer list in a lot of cases. You're going to have Twitter for some businesses that might make sense. For Facebook, you know, you'll have a Facebook page and so on. And then there are a lot of options in terms of driving traffic to each. And it can be click-throughs, it can be impression-based advertising. It's a lot of things, obviously, at the point of sale and all that. And so what we typically recommend to people is to say, look, you know, you have all these different assets at your disposal. And, you know, depending on your business and how much time you have and where your customers are engaging, you may or may not want to have a presence and develop a core competency in each of these areas and understand how to use what, when, and why. And one thing that we have done with great effect for a lot of different people is use Facebook advertising for demand gen. It can be, you know, impression-based. Click-throughs, whatever argument. I think either way, depending on how effective your ad copy is, to use impression-based Facebook advertising or click-throughs. I've always thought that maybe one of the best ways to get started is to identify your target market, whether it's local, gender-based, interest-based, age, whatever. You can do all these things in Facebook advertising. And then, you know, run some Facebook ads at it. It's pretty inexpensive, generally speaking. You know, here in the United States, I can get 1,000 impressions for a 20, 30 cent CPM right now, which is spectacular when you consider the targeting options I have.
Yeah.
And so, so what's great about that is that, you know, if you have sort of a presence and you don't have a lot of fans and all that, you go out, tell all your friends about it, start to generate a small audience, and then run some demand gen at it. That's typically, at least for us, in a lot of cases, a best practice.
Mm. And I mean, a question I've got about the kind of adverts is that there really seems to have been, over the last sort of 12 months or so, a real kind of uptake and understanding of people really starting to use these adverts quite aggressively and inventively, if you know what I mean. So they're kind of said, okay, people have realized, like you say, that great value of this adverts in comparison to forms like, you know, search adverts or even banner adverts, and they can see the value there. And it's kind of, to a certain extent, seems to be really picked up by the kind of you know, lead gen businesses, you know, some of the kind of slightly more spammy ends of the web, as it were, you know, the kind of dating or weight loss or all those kind of side of things seem to have, you know, taken to Facebook quite a lot. Do you think that there's a danger of these kind of aggressive advertisers kind of spoiling the respect of Facebook as an advertising platform in the eyes of the business community at all?
Yeah, I think that's a great, great point, and a big thing for all of us to be concerned about, because Facebook advertising is effective today. Why is that? Because the prices are so low that even if people don't really pay attention to the ads, you'll still get enough clicks. So if you pay 30-cent CPM, you get a handful of clicks here and there. You're getting tons of repeated impressions, in addition to the fact that, you know, you're getting just a lot of clicks that, you know, from people in your targeted demographic, right?
Yeah.
So it's really fantastic, but if these things become less relevant, right, if it's constantly weight loss on the right-hand side of your screen, or if it's constantly get rich quick, or, you know, some sort of kitschy thing that, you know, that maybe is of interest to someone here and there eventually, but by and large is less and less relevant as time goes on, then yeah, then that whole right side of the screen becomes a lot less effective. Now, quite frankly, I would expect Facebook to make some changes to combat that. Certainly Facebook has a big vested interest in their ads being relevant and important to consumers. But I think you're absolutely right. There's a big risk that because it's not like Google or some sort of click-through system where someone types a keyword and that identifies them as sort of having an interest in something, this is much more broad and not related to what someone's typing in. And so because of that, you know, there is a big risk of relevance becoming a problem as these things get over. So I think that's a great, great point.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, I think it's right there, and you are right to identify that, okay, at the moment it might be a little bit wild west in that advertising marketplace, but there's still, you know, money and opportunity to be made there, and all the time that people kind of sit around and about it, they're losing potential business that they could have got there, really, I suppose. To take it back a step, Chris, you know, we talked a bit about kind of, you know, whether that ads or the you know, or a page was the best option for someone starting out. What would be kind of really your kind of, okay, I've never done Facebook ads. I've never, you know, had a Facebook presence ever before. I'm going to go out after this podcast and spend, you know, a couple of hours having a go. What would you say is the best places for them to start building that process and how they go through it, really?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things we talked about in the book in detail is the concept of not just creating a presence, but creating sort of your, for lack of a better term, your online magazine, and to think through what this thing is going to mean for your customers. So take, for example, you know, Joe's Pub, right? I think that's a good example, just a fictional, you know, pub down the street, creating a Facebook presence for the first time. Well, what is going to make people become a fan of that pub? What is going to make people want to engage with that pub, post content, share content, share experiences, so on and so forth, right? You know, you have to think through, I think, what, you know, an average consumer that walks through your door, what they're going to want out of a Facebook presence that you provide as a business owner. And so, like, a pub might be interested in, you know, letting people share photos or letting people share stories or things like that. I don't know. And within reason, of course. But it is sort of like a destination, a web page that gets updated by you or by the crowd if you've decided to sort of make that feature available. and you trust your, you know, your users.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's always a big deal. you know, there's every day, you know, there's an opportunity to post something and to establish a presence on someone's newsfeed. And so we talk a lot in the book about this concept of, you know, sort of a daily magazine of sorts, where your users are getting something from you every day, you know, once or twice a day, depending on how much you think it would inform them or annoy them or whatever. And it can be about events and things like that. The key is to think through it in the beginning and to create your presence and make sure that you can keep it up so that it's not, doesn't go a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks without any interest, any new and interesting, because people will very quickly forget about you.
Mm. No, I think that's great advice there, Chris. So you were saying that, you know, it's the first edition of the book, Facebook Marketing an Hour a Day, is out at the moment. Are you saying there's a second edition in progress at the moment?
We are beginning to talk about it. So nothing has been set in stone yet, but I think we, you know, we've seen a lot of advances and changes in Facebook just in the year that we've been, you know, kind of working on this thing. And there's a whole new set of issues and things to write about. And and the book has done very, very well. And so, yeah, we're starting to talk about things like that. So we'll see.
So for the time being, go out and get the first edition, but there might be an updated, improved one coming at some point in the future as well.
Oh, yeah. The time it takes from the, you know, the point that you start writing and the point that you the thing out is, you know, 9 to 12 months. So we're still talking about at least a year from today, but I think it's actually probably like January of 2012 or so is my guess. Going right now.
Yeah, so a lot of time to do well on Facebook between now and then. So get on with the first book on that one, for that one, I think, for most people. Brilliant. Well, thanks so much for your time there, Chris. I really appreciate that. I know that the listeners would really enjoy some of the tips you've shared there. I'll drop a link in the show notes to Chris's book and his Twitter profile and the like there, so you can keep track of what Chris has got to say about Facebook marketing and other types of marketing. And yeah, hopefully really useful for everybody.
All right. Thanks a lot for your time. I appreciate it.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150, and you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White is signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.